I'd like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Job. I would like to read from Job chapter 23. I encourage you to look in your Bibles as we try to read from Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23. I'd like to read the first 10 verses. Job chapter 23, verses 1 through 10. The Word of God says, "Then Job answered and said, Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat." He's talking about finding God. So I wish I knew where I could find God, that I would come to his seat. Verse 4, he says, "I would order my cause before him, and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me, and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." If correctly read, that Job chapter 23, the first 10 verses. Before we begin to endeavor to study from God's Word, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the great privilege that we have to know the one true and living God. We know there are many other little gods in this world, and we know that even in our own lives that sometimes we serve other gods, and we ask you to forgive us, and we pray that you would help us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We pray that you would help us as your sheep, that we would look to the great shepherd to lead us and to feed us and to guide us in all the ways in our lives. Help us to remember how defenseless we are and how dependent we are upon thee. We're thankful that we have the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, to watch over and protect and bless and to lead us in paths of righteousness, and to lead us beside the still waters, and to make us lie down in green pastures. We thank you, Lord, for your holy word, and we pray that thou would bless thy word to our hearts this day. We pray that you would help us, that we might hear the word of the Lord, that we might believe it and obey it, that we might rejoice in it, and that we might be doers of thy word and not hearers only. We thank you, Lord, for all your blessings on your people. We know that thy word teaches that thou dost daily load us with benefits. And we know that every day we do have more blessings than we could ever begin to count. There are times that we receive special blessings, and we thank you, Lord, for those. And we pray that you would accept our thanksgiving and help us not to just thank thee with the words of our mouth, but help us by the deeds of our lives to show forth the gratitude that we feel for thy goodness to us. We ask thy blessings upon each individual who's here today. We pray that thou would bless each one, not according to what we deserve, but according to thy mercy and thy grace. Bless each family that's represented. We pray that you would help them individually and as families, that you would be with them. And we beg you, Lord, to bless all of us, that we might walk as children of light to thy name's honor and glory. We do beg thy special blessings upon all those who are sick and afflicted. We know that you're the great physician. We know that thou hast all power. And we ask thee, Lord, to bless those who are sick. We pray that you would bless those in the hospitals, and pray that you would bless those in the nursing homes, that you would bless those who have lost loved ones, that you would comfort their hearts and help us to know where their loved ones are and to think about that every day. Bless the ones who stand in special need this day, and help us all to help each other. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The main thought that's on my heart this morning is the fact that God sometimes God reveals Himself to us, and other times God hides Himself from us. Are there times that you have seen the hand of God all around you working? Are there times that when you go out into the beauty of nature that you can just see the hand of God working in all those different ways? Are there times that you can see the hand of God working in your own life? Can you see God doing things for you and helping you and guiding you and blessing your life? Are there times that you are conscious of that and that you know that God is really there with you and helping you in your life? Those are times that God is revealing Himself to us, but there are other times that the Word of God teaches that God hides Himself from us. There are times that, because of our disobedience sometimes, that God will hide Himself from us, that we cannot find Him. The Word of God says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near." Sometimes we walk further and further away from God until finally we can see God no more. And we can't find God. And God will hide Himself from us. I want you to notice what Job says here. Come down to Job 23. Listen to verses 8, 9, and 10. In Job 23, verse 8, Job right now can't find God. He says in Job 23, verse 8, "Behold, I go forward, but He is not there." Well, now, is God everywhere present? Is God everywhere present? Well, was God in front of him when he went forward? He says, "I go forward, but He is not there." What's the point of what he's saying when I go forward and He's not there? I go forward, but I can't find Him there. That's really what he's saying, because God was there, wasn't He? But he couldn't find Him. "Behold, I go forward, but He is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive Him." You see, he just couldn't find. Was he seeking God? I'm asking you again now. Was he seeking God? But he could not find God. Verse 9, he says, "On the left hand where He doth work." In other words, he could see that God was working, but he couldn't find God there. Have you ever been around people that were so full of the Spirit of God and you knew that God was working in their heart and in their life and in their soul, but you couldn't feel a thing in the world? Have you ever been in church when you knew that the congregation might have been in the Spirit and worshiping God and singing praises to God, but you couldn't feel anything at all? Well, that's the kind of experience that Job was having right here when he says in verse 9, he says, "On the left hand where He doth work, but I cannot behold Him." Didn't matter. Listen, brethren, it doesn't matter if everybody else can find Him. If I can't find Him, I don't get any joy in watching everybody else find the Lord. I need to feel and see God in my life. He says in verse 9, "On the left hand where doth work, but I cannot behold Him. He hideth Himself." Listen to the last part of verse 9. He says, "He hideth Himself." Does God hide Himself? Yes, He does. That's taught all through the Scriptures, Old and New Testament, that God will hide Himself. He'll do that to individuals, He'll do it to families, and He'll do it to an entire nation. When God's people turn their back on God, God will hide Himself. And that's what Job is saying here. "He hideth Himself that I cannot see Him." Now listen to verse 10. "But," I want you to remember this, we're going to come back to this later. "But..." Now, that's a great blessing. You know, if you want to find some great joys in God's Word, you just take that word "but" and you look at the expression "before" and "after" it. All through the Scriptures. It's a wonderful study. And this is what Job is saying. He says, "I can't find God anywhere. And I'm seeking Him, but I can't find Him. He is hiding Himself from me. But He knoweth the way that I take, and when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Now, what's Job saying? Well, before we really look at what Job is saying, I first want us to just think about how wonderful it is to be able to see God working. Now, right here, Job couldn't see God working, could he? He knew what the final end was going to be. But he couldn't see God working. I want us to first of all just think about what a privilege and a blessing it is to see God working. Someone was talking earlier today how beautiful this morning is. Isn't it a beautiful morning? Did you know some people, when they see the beauty of the morning, when they see the sun shining, and they feel the coolness of the air, and they feel invigorated because of nature, there are some people that all they see is the sunshine and feel the coolness, and other people, they see the hand of God working. Can you see God in all the seasons of the year? Can you see God in the summertime? Can you see God in the wintertime? Can you see Him in the fall? I really like the fall, and I like the spring of the year. But I can also, if I can see God, I can see God in the summertime and in the wintertime. And we ought to be able to see God in all seasons of the year. And this morning, as we saw all this beauty, one thing you might see and say is, well, the sun is shining and the air is cooler. On the other hand, you might say and see and feel it is wonderful to see the hand of God working in all of this. It's good to see that God is sending us this cool air. It's good to see, and you know what else we need, and I would ask all of you to pray for and beg God for? We need some rain. And we need to be praying for rain. And we need to understand it's not just the hot and cold air currents and all of that working. It's the hand of God that is withholding rain from our land. And we need to fall on our knees and beg God to send rain upon the earth. And when the rain comes, you need to praise the Lord and thank God for sending the rain. You need to see it's the hand of God that's withholding the rain. And you need to see it's God working when He sends the rain on the earth. We need to see the hand of God working every day in our lives. Not just in nature. Now, do you see God in nature? Do you, those of you who are nodding, yes, you see God in nature. Do you always see God in nature? I'm talking about when you look at, sometimes I look at flowers and I just marvel at the beauty of the flowers. I was looking at two little flying squirrels. We have a lot of flying squirrels in I put out bluebird houses and I've got nothing but flying squirrels. I've got them coming out my ears over there, just flying squirrels. Every one of my little houses, you know, got little flying squirrels. And I'll go out there and raise the little door up and there's two little flying squirrels sitting there. And yet you look at those two little flying squirrels in that little bitty bird box and you think about how marvelous it is that God can take those little bitty squirrels, little tiny squirrels, and the way that He's made them so they can just glide down and fly around it from tree to tree and how they can eat. And you think about one of those little bitty squirrels has a heart, and every one of them has a heart, and they have a brain. They have that circulatory system. They have the nervous system. They have a digestive system. They have a skeletal system. They have all these different systems that make up the body. Isn't it marvelous to sit there and look at little animals? I love to sit during deer season and look at the animals out there in the forest. I love to look at the squirrels and the deer and all the different things out there. But you know, sometimes all I do is see the animals, and other times I see the hand of God when I'm out there. Can you see the hand of God in nature? What about looking up at the sun and the moon and the stars? We've had a full moon this past week. Some of the teachers have said, I can tell it's a full moon the way my children are acting at school. And others who are in different kinds of vocations said, I'm telling you, I knew it was a full moon because of what was going on. Well, let me tell you what else you can see in the moon. You know what else you can see? Now, sometimes all I see is the moon. Sometimes when I look at the moon, I see the hand of God. Sometimes when I look at the stars and I see the multitude of stars and I think about this solar system that we're in, I think about the sun and I think about the moon has no light of its own. I'll tell you, that's hard to believe, isn't it? That the moon has no light of its own. It doesn't produce any light. All it is a reflection of the sun. That's hard to believe. But that's the truth. And there's a lot of beautiful pictures in that. And you look at the moon and how full and how beautiful it is and how it's shining the reflection of the sun. And you read in the Word of God about how the church is compared to the moon. And when the sun of Jesus Christ is shining on the church, that the church will be a moon. It'll be a light to the people of God. And how the people of God are like stars. And you look at the moon and you look at the stars, and what do you see? You can just see moon and stars, or what else can you see? You can see the mighty hand of God. You think Job could see God in the moon and the stars right here when he was writing in Job 23? You think he could see the hand of God? He couldn't see the hand of God. All he could see was what? Moon and stars. Oh, he could in his head say, oh yes, I know God made it, but in his heart he couldn't see the hand of God controlling it all. From his head he can say, well, that little flying squirrel, it's amazing how God made it, or that deer, and all these animals, you know, they all have instincts. It's amazing when you watch animals how they all are born with these instincts that they have. And they know to be careful, and they don't go to school to learn all those things. It's the hand of God that has worked that into their body, that they have all these different instincts on how to protect themselves and how to find food and how to find water and all those things. It's amazing, isn't it? Do you see the hand of God? Go forward just a few pages. I want you to notice Psalm 8. Look in your Bibles at Psalm 8. I want you to see the hand of God. I want us to see the hand of God. I want us to see the hand of God. First of all, I just want you to notice it in nature. And this is really, I want you to notice how the Word of God describes it. Psalm 8. I know this is the Word of David, but it's the inspired Word of God. And here's how the Word of God, can you think of anything greater than this solar system? The sun and the moon and the stars and the earth. This one little planet of, you know, now they say there's 8 planets. I still think there's 9. I don't care. There may be 4, there may be less. Doesn't make any difference to me. I know that God made them all anyway. You can call them stars, you can call them planets, you can call them what you want to. It makes no difference to me, because all I care about is my God made all those things up there. Now listen to Psalm 8, verse 3 and 4. Here's what David says. He says, when I consider, not just the heavens, by the way. Many times we quote this verse, we say, when I consider the heavens. I want you to notice the wording here. When I consider what? When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy, now won't you watch this, fingers. The work of thy fingers. Now, my fingers can't do a lot of work. You take all of them together, maybe they can do a little more. But when you think about the work, do you usually think of your fingers, or what do you usually think of? More than just the fingers, what do you think of? Go a little further up the anatomy and what do you come to? The hands. I think about people working with their hands. Now, is there work you can do with your fingers? Some of the ladies that do knitting and do crocheting and all the different things that they do, tatting and things like that, that's finger work, isn't it? And that's what the Bible says about the heavens. He says, when I consider thy heavens, and then he says, the work of thy fingers. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Now, could David right here, could he see God in the heavens? Could he see the hand? Could he see the finger work of God up there in heaven? Just took the fingers work. Now, you and I know also, we can make it even more wonderful than that from the truth of God's Word. All he did was just speak it into existence. It's not like he was up there working with his fingers real hard trying to put it all together. All he did was just speak it into existence. Isn't that marvelous? Now, can you see the power of God? Do you always see the power of God? Are there times you just see a sun and a moon and stars, and all you can say is, I know it's big, I know it's mighty, but you can't see the hand of God in it. Now right here, David says, this is all the work of your fingers. And then he says, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. And he says, when I look at all the universe up there, he says, what is man? Oh, you see how little man is? If you don't see the hand of God, you know what you'll think about man? Well, he's pretty big, pretty tough, pretty strong, pretty smart. But you see God, you know what you'll know? Man is nothing but a dog. He's a worm. He's, like we studied last week, he's just a dumb sheep. That's all the best of children of God are. Now, when you think about how great God is, what does it make you think? Like David did right here. What is man that thou art mindful of him? What a marvelous thing that the God who with his fingers made the heavens and all that's up there. What a marvelous thing it is. Look again at verse 4. Look in your Bibles at verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him, that God would even think about man, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Have you ever had God visit with you? Have you ever had God visit with you? Have you ever had God come and dwell with you? Have you ever had God come and you knew God was there? Well, now, that's what David's saying. I know God's been with me, and it's an amazing thing to me that the God who created all this universe with His fingers, it's an amazing thing that God, the sovereign God, the universal God, the one true and living God, it's amazing that God would come and visit even me. I tell you, when I know what a sinner I am, I can sing Amazing Grace. I can sing Amazing Grace and it not mean a thing in the world to me. But when I see the hand of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God, and when I feel that, you know what I feel when I sing Amazing Grace? It's like Brother Bud says, it'll make the hair on the back of your head stand up. When you feel that God is with you, when you can see the hand of God, you see the finger work of God, when you realize in Psalm 19:1 it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. His handiwork. It's His finger work. It's His handiwork. Well, that's going up a little stronger. Get up to what? Go above your fingers. Go above your hands. Get up to what? Go up to the arm. Are you stronger in your finger or your arm, Brother Wendell? Arm. Oh man, you take that arm, you're strong, aren't you? Brother Richard, are you a pretty strong man? As men go. Pretty strong man. A lot of men here that are good, strong men. But all God has to do is just speak the word. You know what happens to these any strong men and all strong men combined? All he has to do is just speak the word, down we'll go. But I want you to think not about just the finger work of God. What's some of the finger work of God? The sun and the moon and the stars, that's the finger work. It's also called His handiwork. The firmament's called His handiwork. And I want to think about the arm of God. You think about the arm of God. Think about what His arm can do. Think about what does the Bible mean when it talks about the arm of God? It's talking about the power of God being manifest in a great and a marvelous way. Are there times you can see the finger work of God? Are there times you can see the handiwork of God? But are there also times that you have seen the arm of God revealed? Has God ever revealed? And listen, brethren, you'll never see the arm of God. You'll never see the finger of God working. You'll never see the hand of God working unless God reveals it to you. God has to show it to you. If God hides Himself from you, you can't see. You can read about it all you want to. You can't see the finger work of God. You can't see the handiwork of God. You can't see the arm of the Lord unless God reveals it to you. And that's what Job's crying about. God's hiding it from me. Oh, we need to pray. God, show it to me. Let me see your finger work. Let me see your handiwork. Let me see your arm work. Show me your mighty power. I just had this thought. I've got to bring it in. But brethren, God showed me His arm work this week in my life. I'll tell you, when that doctor called me, I cried and cried. And I got in bed that night, and here's how the devil works. I got in bed that night, and I thought, man, did I dream what he said? And then I got to thinking, I bet they got my heart results mixed up with somebody else's heart results, you know? Now, you know who was trying to rob me of all the joy?
The devil.
The devil, that's right. The devil. I'll tell you, give glory to God. Has God's arm worked in my... Well, you can say it's His finger, you can say it's His hand. I'm talking about the power of God. Have you seen the power of God working? Has God's arm worked in this little heart like me? Yes, it has. God's power. Well now, did you know God's worked in your heart this week too? Did you know God's worked in your life this week? God's done some finger work and some hand work and some arm work in your life. Have you seen the hand of the Lord? See, that's the question. Is, are you seeing the hand of, are you seeing the work of God in your life? If you see the work of God, if you see God working, you know what you'll do? You'll praise the Lord. You'll give glory to God. If you see what Job was trying to find, if God will just reveal it to you, if He'll just show Himself working, you'll give glory to God. Listen, go with me to Isaiah. Go forward. Well, let's stop just a minute. Go to Psalm 37. We'll stop here just a minute. Well, let's talk about the hand before we get to the arm. There's one other scripture I wanted to give you on the hand. Look at Psalm 37. You know, you could preach on the finger work of God the rest of your life. Did you know that? All God just has to do is bless. You just talk about the finger work of God. So I want to mention one other thing about the handiwork of God. Look in your Bibles at Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And I want you to listen to Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. Have you ever seen the hand of God? Listen carefully. Have you ever seen the God? Have you ever felt the hand of God in your life? Have you ever felt the hand of God lifting you up? I want you to think about this just a bit. Have you ever been depressed and felt, Brother Bud and Sister Ruth, has God lifted you up? And everybody here, has God lifted you up? Have you ever felt His hand lifting you up? Power of God lifting you up. Oh, sometimes we sing that song, He Lifted Me. And part of that song says, it might not all be truth. I don't know all the words. I haven't looked at it recently right now, but I'm telling you, part of that song is truth. It says, with tender hand, He lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh, praise the Lord, He lifted me. Oh, have you ever seen Him lift you up? Have you ever felt Him lift you up? How wonderful is it? It's as good as it can be. When you know that the sovereign, omnipotent God of heaven and earth has reached down and lifted you up. Have you ever been poor? Have you ever been in financial strains in your life? And God reached down and lifted you up. Have you ever been sick physically? And God reached down and healed you? Pray for Sister Emma, by the way. Brother James and Sister Saver's little baby, Emma. She has a high fever. And they're taking her to the doctor today. Pray for Will. Will's got a high fever of 103. They're both running high fevers, little children. And we don't always mention that, but I'm telling you, they're in the hand of God. Isn't that wonderful? That's the only reason Brother James can be here. That's the only reason I can be here. That's the only reason Marie can be here. I tell you, if you don't believe in the sovereign God that can take care of those little children, you'll have a nervous breakdown. Because if you love your children, you care about them. But isn't it wonderful to know where that child is? Oh, even if the doctor's office doesn't open today, and so far it's not open, but the convenient care will be open about 1 o'clock. Listen, brethren, listen. Even though the doctor's office isn't open, the doctor's there right now, taking care of Emma and Will and all these other Sister Cindy. I'll tell you, it's a miracle Sister Cindy Minix is alive. It's the power of God. It's the finger work. It's the handy work. It's the arm work. It's the power of God. It's keeping all of us alive every day. Even if you're well, it's still the hand of God that's keeping you alive. The devil wants to destroy you. Oh, Jesus says, I've got you in my hand. I've got you in the Father's hand. I'm secure. Oh, I may die. It doesn't make any difference. Listen, I'm still going to be in my Father's hand. In fact, I'm going to be right there in His bosom. I'm not just going to be in His hand. I'll be laying down up in His bosom up there. Just little ways the Bible describes it, you know. It's wonderful. But if you can't see Him, you're going to be like Job. I'm running here and there. I can't find Him anywhere. He's hiding Himself. But I want you, before we get to Him hiding Himself, I want you to see Him, okay? Because you won't feel the pain of Him hiding Himself unless you've seen Him and Him manifest Himself first. Look at Psalm 37. Listen to verses 23 and 24. Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. These are beautiful words. The Word of God says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You hear that? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Do you just go wherever you want to and do whatever you want to? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he, that is God, delighteth in his way. And the good man also delights in the Lord's way. You can look at that two different ways. And he delighteth in his way. Now listen carefully to verse 24. Though he fall, though that man, does a good man, I'm talking about a man that's trying to serve the Lord, be faithful to God, do they sometimes fall? Do they fall? Anybody here fallen this past week? Anybody backslid any? Though a good man fall, listen carefully. This is the amazing grace of God. God's a lot more gracious than we are. Did you know that? Though he fall, though a good man fall, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Isn't that a wonderful promise? He shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Isn't that pretty? You ought to be shouting. I tell you, I thank God that in some churches people just scream and shout and praise the Lord. I've preached in some churches of different color than we are, and I'm telling you, the people won't sit down. They get so happy. You talk about God. You talk about the things we're talking about this morning. The house would just, the windows would be shaking, and the building would be shaking because the people would be praising the Lord so much. We better get away from this cold. Just sit there. Just feel just a little bit. But you know what we do? We quench the spirit. Have you ever quenched the spirit? There were four preachers down here studying, praying this past Thursday morning before I got called Thursday afternoon. We were praying. And I felt the power of the Lord as strong as I've ever felt it in my life. And when we finished, I said, I'm telling you, I almost just started screaming and yelling and shouting. Well, you know, the only reason I didn't scream and yell and shout and holler, because I quenched the Spirit. The Spirit of God just moved in me such a mighty way that I needed to scream and shout and holler and praise the Lord. I know you can run off on a tangent with that. I know you can scream and shout and praise and try to concoct something yourself. But I'm telling you, when it's inside, you better let it out. When God puts something in there, you better let it out. Some people cry they cry over nothing. You know, you've heard of crocodile tears. People that can just turn the waterworks on and turn it off. Don't you ever turn the waterworks on. Don't you ever cry just to be a show. Don't you ever praise the Lord out loud just to be a show. But when God moves in your heart to praise the Lord, you better praise the Lord. There are several people I called this week when I told them my heart about how God had given me a good report. They said, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'll tell you, they knew where the good report came from. Praise the Lord is right. As God lifted you up with His hand, though you fall down. That's what that 24th verse, He says, the Lord upholdeth him with His right hand, with His hand. God upholds you with His hand. Now, go with me to Isaiah just a minute. Look at Isaiah. Please turn quickly in your Bibles to Isaiah. You've got to look at this. In Isaiah, please look at your Bibles. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1, the question is asked. And any of you that know anything about the Bible and about Isaiah chapter 53, you know what Isaiah 53 is all about. Somebody tell me what, Brother John Smith, tell me what's Isaiah 53 primarily about. What's the bulk of this passage about? Say it again.
About Jesus, about Christ.
Yes, it's about Jesus. It's about Christ. It's about Jesus dying on the cross and saving us from our sins. It's about the Messiah. It's about the Savior. It's about Jesus. This is what Philip preached to the eunuch about. This is the same passage he preached from. But here's what he said in the very first verse. Isaiah 53, verse 1. The question is asked, Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now, what's the question? What's the second question? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now, you read the rest of this chapter. You know what you're seeing in the rest of this chapter? I'll tell you, the creation of this world was just the voice of God and the finger work of God. And everything else you look at is just the handiwork of God. But you come to the salvation of men's souls. You come to how we were saved from our sins. It wasn't just the voice. It wasn't just the finger. It wasn't just the hand of God. It was the arm of the Lord. It was Jesus Christ that saved us from our sins. It took more power to save us from our sins than it did to create this world. It took more of the power of God to do what was accomplished at Calvary than anything else that's ever been done or ever will be done. What happened at Calvary was more amazing and more powerful than even the resurrection of all the people from the graves of this earth. There's nothing that's ever been as great as what happened at Calvary when Jesus died for my sins. Have you seen the arm of the Lord? If you can't see Jesus, you can read about Jesus dying on the cross all you want to. If you hadn't seen Him, if it hadn't been revealed to you, it just doesn't mean anything to you. What did Job do when he couldn't see the Lord? What did he do? Did he keep running? I ran here and I ran there. And he finally realized there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason I can't feel the hand of God. There's a reason I can't see the hand of God. There's a reason I can't see the finger of God. There's a reason I can't see the arm of the Lord. Did you know that if today, if you didn't wake up and see the arm of the Lord and the hand of the Lord and the finger of the Lord, there's a reason you couldn't see the hand of the Lord. Do you know why you can't see the hand of the Lord sometime in your life? And do you know why sometimes all I can see is little flying squirrels, other times I see the hand of the Lord there? Do you know what the difference is? Tell me what the difference is. All of you are right. I'm not sure what all of you said, but I think all of you. Go with me to Isaiah 59. I think the answer is right here. Isaiah 59. We'll close here in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Listen carefully to Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Did you know there's no close to this sermon? Did you know there's no end to this preaching that I'm trying to preach to you about this morning? No end to it. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. The Word of God says, behold, what about the Lord's hand? Oh, some people say He wants to save you. I can just picture somebody here this morning, you know. Oh, Brother Donald, He wants to save you. If you'll just let Him. Brother Richard, He just wants to save you. He just can't reach you. If you'll just take His hand. Oh, that's not the God of the Bible, brethren. That's not the sovereign God of heaven and earth. God's hand is not shortened that it can't save. His ear is not heavy that He can't hear. We're not talking about some puny man. We're talking about the sovereign God of heaven and earth. To whom? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Not all of God's children have seen the arm of the Lord. When Jesus asked Peter and the apostles, who do men say that I am? They had different answers. He said, but whom say ye that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what did Jesus say? Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not, what's the next word? Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. What had been revealed? The arm of the Lord. The power of Jesus Christ. If you know the power of Christ, if you know that Jesus isn't begging and pleading, don't you get high-minded and haughty. You thank God. The only reason you understand Jesus does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. The only reason you know about the sovereignty of God. The only reason you've seen the arm of the Lord, the hand of the Lord, the finger of the Lord, and the voice of the Lord is because God has revealed it to you. You need to praise the Lord. You're more indebted to God than people that haven't seen the arm of the Lord. Behold the Lord's hand. This is Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid. Whoop. Heard that before? About God hiding Himself? Now, we've been talking about God hiding His fingers and His hands and His arm, but listen to what else. He says, your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Have you ever seen the face of God? You can argue that all you want to. I believe that through the eye of faith that we can see the face of God. We can see the beauty of God. We can see the glory of God. We can see the majesty of God in His finger work, in His hand work, in His arm work. Just behold the beauty of the Lord. David says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold His beauty. Have you seen the Lord this morning? Have you gotten a glimpse of the Lord a little bit this morning? Isn't it wonderful that when you search the Scriptures, you think they have eternal life, but they don't. But they are they which testify of Me, Jesus. When you get up, now don't wait till in the morning. I start to say when you get up in the morning, you pray that God will help you to see the Lord. You need to do like Job did. You need to keep seeking the Lord. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Live in such a way. What is it that will cause God to hide Himself from us? Your sins, my sins. Sometimes I can, by His grace, I can see His handiwork. Sometimes I can't. Sometimes I can see His face, but sometimes I can't. May God help us to know. I have to give you one more statement in closing. And now I want you to. This was my text, and I didn't get to it. Listen, please. Listen. You quit worrying about the clock and listen to me. This is important. I want you to remember this statement. Brother Keith Lloyd prayed it the other morning when he was praying. And when he prayed this, my heart, that's when it touched my heart. And Brother Keith was praying
Thursday morning, he was praying and he said, God, when we can't see your hand, help us to remember your heart. Oh, listen to that, brethren. When we can't see your hand, help us to remember your heart. You see the beauty in that expression? When you can't see his hand, help us to remember his heart. What do you get out of that? Well, when I can't see his hand working, and I don't see him healing me, if I die, it's okay. Listen, here's why. Because I know God's heart. I know that God thinketh thoughts of good toward me and not evil. I know that whatever God does in me, in my life, is for my good and his glory. I know that whatever happens in our lives, it's for our good. I know that even if God sends his hand to chasten me instead of to help me, that it's good that I'm being chastened of the Lord. Because whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. So when you can't see the hand of God, remember his heart. Help me to see his heart. Because when you see the heart of God, what do you know? When you think about, help us to remember your heart, somebody tell me what you think about when you say, when you can't see the hand of God, help us to remember his heart. Just tell me what you think that means. Help us to remember his heart. What do you think that expression means? Help us to remember your heart. Yes. He loves me. Even did God love Job when he couldn't see his hand and couldn't find God? Did God still love Job? Did Job remember God's heart? Yes. Yes. How do you know Job remembered God's heart? Because here's what he said. After he says, I'm running here and there and I can't find him. But when he is finished with me, I'm going to come forth as gold tried in the fire. You know why? Because the heart of God was good toward Job. And the heart of God is good towards us. And nothing can separate us. Nothing, the devil and all of his angels. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. I may have tribulation, I may have sickness, I may have persecution, you may have all kinds of trouble, but the devil and all of his angels can't separate you from the love of God. Amen. May God help us, is my prayer.